just wanted to say before I minister to you, I hope you're going to minister to me too. As you know, my English is not the first language I speak, so please help me to improve my English and my walk with the Lord. So if you notice something that I say that's not right, and you think I can do better, please let me know that. Well, I was thinking about this day. We're going to meet together, and it's the first day of the new year that the Lord gave us. And I was thinking, what does the Lord want me to share with you all, and what's in my heart that the Lord wants to talk to us and to help us with the walk that we have with the Lord. And I was thinking about the one of the verses in the Bible that express, should I say crazy? Maybe it's not a right word to say, but it's a very bold decision for somebody to say, Lord, please look into my heart and analyze it and search it and let me know what you find there. This is crazy. If we would know somebody's heart, if you have the opportunity, or I have the opportunity, the ability to look into somebody's mind, I think we probably are not going to have friends, close friends or family, like, you know, to, because the heart is so full of different things. And this is exactly what David said. And I'm going to read this from Psalm 139. That's the two verses that the Lord put on my heart to share today with you all. It's Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. Search me, God, and know my heart. Put me to test and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there is any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. This is such a boldness from David to ask God, to say, Lord, please search my heart. Know me, Lord. Test me, Lord, and lead me in the right direction. So I was thinking for this year, and in my life, I try to do this every day. And today I'm going to share with you, like, the three directions I try to look on every day in my life. First is I look up. David is talking to the Lord here. And if you look in the first verse, you know, he starts with, Lord, you have searched me and you know me. David is talking to God. So first thing I learn for myself and I try to do every day is just walk humble before the Lord, not before people. That's what David says, Lord, look into my heart. You know, he had the experience previously when his dad told him, David, go and check on your brothers. They were on the battlefield and they were facing Goliath. There was a lot of stress going on, a lot of things going on. And David goes there and he brings them food and he tries to find what's going on. And he, next thing, the elder brother noticed David is talking to one of, you know, this man, and he's asking, what's going on here? And, you know, why is everybody scared and what's going on? And his brother, his elder brother, comes to him and asks, David, what are you talking about? And he's asking David about the sheep, who, you know, who's taking care of the sheep. That was his responsibilities. And you know what the elder brother told him? I know your proud heart. And I know your heart is full of evil. And you came right here to look at the battle. In other words, another human being is trying to analyze David's heart. And the big brother asks him the question. And the brother also answers and tells him, okay, there you go. David, this is the problem. Your heart is full of pride and you are full of evil. And you came right here to look at these things. And I think many times we have been in that situation when other people try to analyze our heart, our motives, and they put a diagnosis on the things that we do. And they tell us a lot of things. And the first thing that I learned for myself, I say, Lord, help me always to look up to you. What do you say about me, Lord? My brother can be 1% right, 100% right, 50% right, but the Lord is always right about what He sees in our heart. So I developed the habit and I say, Lord, if I do something, if I do something good, or if I have done something wrong, Lord, in this situation, what do you think about me, Lord? What do you think about this situation that I'm facing right now? You know, brothers and sisters, the big risk is to try to walk humble and to pretend to be somebody else in front of people. It's good to be kind. I'm not always like this. I know we try to, be kind and, respectful with people. But we have our moments when we are tested and when the Lord is just, taking us through different situations. And in those moments, it's hard. It's hard to, just to be honest and just to, and because we are, when we are in front of people, we try to like present ourselves like this is always who we are. One of the reasons that I love you as brothers and sisters, because you're honest. Because you're honest. And I'm not saying we have to get proud in our honesty. Myself, I cannot, boast with my weaknesses and just, impress you with but we sense the spirit when somebody's honest. And I sense that, that Jesus appreciates the honesty. People that look to Him and say, Lord, what do you say about these situations? About my case, my family, Lord, my heart, what do you think about it? And that's what God loves about us when we are honest. Paul was afraid to not become a slave of man in the sense of, trying to impress man. And he says, if I try to do that, I'm not a servant of God. I have to obey God in everything that I do. And when he is writing to Timothy, his younger brother in Christ, in his second letter, Paul is writing and gives him instructions how to be a good servant of God. And he's encouraging him and he gives him instructions. You know, one thing that he says and he tells Timothy, Timothy, remember Jesus Christ. It's almost like an insult if I go today to a pastor and, the big ministry, and I tell, brother, remember Jesus Christ. It's not here are seven, secrets for a successful ministry. Here is, what you have to do and this and that. Paul is writing different things, but also he tells him, Timothy, remember you walk before the Lord. A lot of people try to analyze us and tell, this is a church, this is not a church, this is appropriate, this is not appropriate. In the final day, we're going to stay before the Lord. And the Lord is going to judge Paul, Timothy, me, all of us. So that's why it's important to remember this year and every day of our lives that we have to walk before the Lord and look up and say, Lord, what do you say about this? Sometimes the Lord is just going to tell us, just be quiet. Just be quiet. Like Jesus was there in front of people who were judging him and accusing him and this and that. And when they told him you're demon-possessed, he didn't try to justify himself. Or when they slammed on his face, when, they got him there and they, humiliating him. He asked, if I did something wrong, show me. If I didn't, why you slap on my face? Why you do that? And it comes a moment where he had just to be quiet and just go through whatever the God, Father in heaven allowed him to go through. Abraham is another great example for me. I read that in Genesis 17, verses 1 through 3. God presents himself to Abraham and tells him, Abraham, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. Walk before me, be blameless, and I'll make my covenant between me and you, and I'll multiply you. And God promised such great things to Abraham, and next thing Abraham does, he fell on his face, and the Bible says God talked to him. That's amazing. If we try to justify ourselves, and God is talking to us, and I say, Lord, we try to find excuses and other things, maybe God is just going to look at us and just, wait for that moment, like Abraham, when we fall before God on our face and say, Lord, who am I so you can make these promises for me? Lord, who am I that you talk to me? Lord, who am I? And the Lord values honesty, and we are, when we come before him with our open heart, just like David came before, Lord, please look at my heart. Please look at my heart, Lord. And the second thing that I want to share with you, the second direction I want to look this year is just to look inside my heart. I want to look inside my heart. No, don't just look up, because God knows everything anyway. And David told him, Lord, search me. God, know me. Test me, Lord. He was talking about himself. Lord, I want to hear from you. And God doesn't need any, like, you know, instructions how to look in our heart, what procedure to follow. God knows everything anyway. David is telling, Lord, make me aware of what you see in my heart. Lord, I want to be on the same page with you when you look into my heart. I want to know exactly what's going on in my heart, Lord. That's what David was doing. He says, Lord, look, search me. Look inside, Lord, and I want to see what you see inside me. Because I can, you know, deceive myself. I can look at the things from different perspective, and I can just think I am, you know, okay. And God says, I see so many things inside your heart that we need to take care of. We just play the game. We travel so much these days, and we play with the kids this game that we have to, like, one of us is thinking about a thing or a person or something, and we can ask questions just with a yes or no answer. We try to, you know, find out what they thought of. Somebody thought about a mountain. We had to, you know, we discovered that, you know. But, you know, God is not in that situation, like, you know, okay, Lord, I'm going to answer with yes or no questions, and maybe you're going to find what's in there. No. Everything is just open before him. He sees my heart. He sees our heart. That's why when I say that, I want to look inside my heart, inside my mind, I say, Lord, I want to see what you see. Lord, I want to look at myself the way you see. Because sometimes I'm puffed up and I think I'm okay. But sometimes I'm just looking at myself and I'm just, you know, beating myself up. And I say, I'm not worthy. Who I am? Who am I? And just sit there, you know, and just, you know, beating myself and accusing and just living in condemnation. The Lord looks at me. No, I want you to look at yourself the way I look at you. That's why David is just asking the Lord, Lord, search me and test me, Lord, because I want to see the way you see me. Babies are cute, you know, when they, I don't know in English what the first word they say when they start to talk. In Romanian, they usually say mommy or daddy. You know, but I think if we have the opportunity, like as kids, to choose the first words we want to say, I think probably I would say, that's not fair. That's what I would say. They cry. Something is not right. You know, they always want some things, and they, you know, they, this is not fair. That's not fair. And I think sometimes we forget that we are just born in sin. We are full of pride and selfishness. And we grow up like that, and we try to, you know, we learn how to mask these things and, you know, to justify this. And it can go so far that people will just face the Lord, and they will never know that they have served a God that never had a clue about them. Like Jesus said, you know, many will come and say, Lord, we did this, we ministered, we did a lot of things. And God said, Jesus is going to say, I never knew you. This is how far we can, this is how dangerous this is. That's why it's important to remember, we as humans were born in sin. And we are just growing up, and it has to be a moment where we say, Lord, I want to look at myself and just see what you see. You remember the churches in Revelation? Most of them had good opinion about themselves. And God says, but I'm knocking on the door. And I want to look at myself. I want to be honest enough and say, Lord, please, Lord, test me. Shake this cup, Lord, in such a way that I will see what's in there. I thank God for the moments where God is testing me and shows what I'm carrying in my heart. No matter how hard they try to like challenge Jesus, you know, they put him in different situations, and Jesus never spilled out, you know, sinful actions or reacted to people. No. But so many times I was in situations where God just put me in a hard situation, and I just spilled out anger or unbelief or other things. And I remember, Lord, I thought I had overcome this. And here the situation is, and the Lord just shows me, you are weak in this area. And I say, Lord, thank you for showing that to me. Because I thought I'm okay in this area until that moment came. You know the situation where David was followed by his son, and you know he was trying to take the kingdom, and David was facing that hard time. He was going through that, you know. And there was one of the guys from the Saul's family. I think in English it's called Shimei or something like that. That was, you know, David with his army, you know, goes and, you know, on his way. And this guy just shows up on the other side of the road and tries, you know, starts to, you know, accuse David. You know, this is why this happened to you. And he was disrespectful to the king, the future king of, you know, like, I mean, to the king of Israel. And David was, you know, surrounded by this, by his army. And he just told them, you know, like, these guys were wanted, just say, let me know, you know, if you want, I just go and, you know, cut his head. You know, why is he doing this to you, to the king? And David just looks at that and says, maybe God put him there to do this to me. I love that. When I see the person that is challenging me, the situation that, you know, is challenging to me, traffic, whatever is going on, I say, maybe God let that thing happen. It's not maybe. It's for sure God led that. We know Romans 8, 28 and 29. Everything works together. Not just most of the things. Everything works for the good of those who love God. And in that situation, God allowed certain things to happen to me. So I know that I need to be careful. I need maybe to repent. I need to ask more grace for that area. So I want to look inside me, and I want to see my heart the way God looks at it. Because, brothers and sisters, that moment when we see all the things that are in our heart, in our mind, Satan wants to take advantage of that. And there is the Bible says there is sorrow that leads to repentance. But there is also sorrow that's not from God, that, you know, leads to like condemnation. That's like, you know, the world is just like that. With, you know, Satan is just showing that thing in my heart. I says, see what it did? And, you know, it starts to build up, you know, that guilt inside. And that, you know, and we look at that, and God says, this is not the reason I tested you. I search your heart. I want to help you. That's why I'm showing you that. So even Paul, towards the end of his life, was not the beginning of his life. Towards the end of his life, Paul is saying to Timothy, Timothy, Jesus came into this world to save sinners. And by the way, do you know who is number one? The chief of sinners? I am the one. And I believe that Paul was growing from grace to grace. He was becoming more and more like Christ. But, you know, he was seeing himself like, you know, the worst of sinners. And also Paul says there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. So I want to look at that and don't let just, you know, Satan take advantage of that. When I look in my heart, I don't want to like, you know, beat myself up and I say, Lord, you know, no. He says, I will never, never get tired forgiving you. This is one thing. We get tired. We need rest after a certain while. But Bible says I don't know how it says in English. I didn't find that verse. Look it up in English. But in Romanian it says, you know, I never get tired forgiving. If I come to the Lord and I just repent before Him, so the Lord says, you know, I just wanted to be honest, you know, just confess your sin and I'm going to forgive you. So I want to look this year, brothers and sisters, encourage you also to, you know, let's look inside us. Not, Lord, search my brother, search that church, go and test that brother. I guess this person loves money, that person is proud, that person is this and that. David, he One of the reasons he was a man after God's own heart is that he was looking to his heart. Search me, God. Search me, God. When he sinned and he wrote the Psalm 51, he says, "Oh my God, I have sinned against you." He was looking up at the Lord. He said, "Lord, this is you. I have committed a sin against you." Even though he hurt other people too, other families. But he was looking up, and also he looked inside and says, "Lord, change my heart, Lord. Work in me, Lord. I come to church. I'm so blessed because I come here and I want to see that God is showing in me something. This is the reason I want to come to church, because, you know, you just, if I come here and I just got an idea that I'm a great guy and I just go home, you know, I don't think I want to go, you know, like if I go to a doctor and just, you know, I have some, you know, big health issues and he tells me, brother, or, you know, hey, dude, you just got to, you know, wear maybe, you know, better clothing is going to look better on you, make you look better. You know, maybe you have sisters, maybe better makeup, you know, or something, you know, and it's going to make you look better. Really? Is that what's going to help? No. I want to look at my heart from God's point of view and see, you know, exactly what's the problem and what God can do about it. And also, I want to look this year, not just up, not just inside me. I want to look forward. I want to look ahead. David is asking God, says, "Lord, lead me. Lord, search me, test me." But what's the point of all that if God is not going to show us the direction we have to go? So David is just asking the Lord, "Lead me, Lord, in the everlasting way." I want to just look ahead, not just when I see the things that God discovered. I have a good memory, especially the things that I did wrong. I don't know if you're like me, but if I have at least maybe 5 chances to erase some things in my life, I didn't kill anybody, I didn't do a lot of like stuff like that, but I have moments to be embarrassed of. And as we grow, we say, "Lord, just give me, you know, 5 things, at least to erase them from my mind. If they are there, okay, that's fine." But we remember them. They are right there. And I think that's a good reason, brothers and sisters, to remember. God said in the new covenant, I'm not going to remember your sins no more. But he didn't promise you will not remember. I'll not remember. I will know them. They are right there. And they are to keep us humble. I know what I am up to. And I say, "Lord, thank you. I got so many, like if I start to tell my kids stories from my childhood, this is all my memories right here. I got a lot of scars, you know, like from an axe, from a whatever, like different things, a hammer, you know. They're right here. They remember me of a lot of stuff from my childhood." So I want to look forward, not just look back and, you know, just, like I said, you know, try to beat myself up or, like, you know, be in condemnation. I don't want to do that. I want to look ahead and I want to change. Lord, the point of looking in my heart is that I want to be better. I want to change, Lord, in this area or other area, wherever God is showing us. And this change is not done by our ability. David didn't say, "Lord, I'll try better. Lord, you know, just give me one more chance. Lord, you'll see this time I'm different." He said, "Lord, lead me." We can impress people. We can motivate people, but when it comes to change heart or life habits, there's only one way we can do it, and David knew it. In Psalm 51, he says, "Change my heart, oh God. Replace it, Lord." And that's the promise God made in the Bible. He said that Ezekiel 36, verses 26, 27, he talks about this, you know, like, "I will give you a new heart. I will give you the new heart. I'll put a new spirit within you. I'll remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I'll put my spirit within you." And like I said, in the New Covenant, Hebrews talks about that, 10:16 also. "This is the covenant which I'll make with them. And God promised, I will put my laws upon their heart and write them on their mind." That's what God can do. We cannot do that as people. God is the one who does it. So we have to look ahead. And one of the verses that blessed me a lot is 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. This talks about how we are transformed. Paul is talking about we all with unveiled faces, looking as in a mirror at the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. Paul talks about like the old people that they had, you know, this veil on their faces. They didn't see like, you know, what we see. And today we have the blessing or the, you know, the promise that God says we can look at the glory of Jesus and be transformed. This is how we are transformed, brothers and sisters. Just spend more time looking at Jesus in the Bible, in prayer with, you know, the church. You know, we have to look more and more at Jesus. And this is how we are transformed. You remember that Peter and John, they have been arrested because, you know, they were preaching the gospel. And, you know, when they come there and everybody's, you know, questioning them and, you know, all those leaders. And, you know, and they say, you know, you don't have to do this. And they, you know, they forbid them to, you know, talk about Jesus. And when they notice the power and the courage they had, Peter and John, how they speak, the Bible says that these leaders, they knew that these people have been with Jesus. Because the life was impacted by Jesus. There's no way we can like spend time with God and not be transformed. So we want to do that and look ahead at Jesus and just say, Lord, I want to look and see you. And that's how I am transformed into His image. Not by trying harder. Not by, you know, just, okay, Lord, I'm going to do this. This is our part too in that. We look at Him. We want to do our part. But at the same time, it's His power. He does it, not us. So I'm going to come to a close here and just want to, this message should be an encouragement for all of us this year. As we pray this prayer, it's a courageous, it was not a superficial, you know, Lord, would you have some time, just look at my, you know, heart and just let me know what's going on there? No, it was David's honest and deepest desire. Lord, explore my heart. Analyze it, Lord, test me. And I want to look, Lord, always to you and see, what do you say about it? What do you say about my life? Lord, how do you think I'm doing for my age? I look at myself many times and I say, Lord, I think I should be better after walking so many years with you. I think I should be better in this area or this area. But I'm not beating up myself. I say, Lord, give me grace. The reason you show me this is because, you know, I want to overcome sin. I want to be better, Lord. But it's not because I'll try harder. It's you, Lord. And I want to just humble myself and look inside and see myself the way you see it. I remember Peter. After he failed miserably, you know, he denied Jesus. And he said, okay, I'm done. Basically, when he said he goes back to fishing, and he said, you know, like, you know, I'm going. After he betrayed Jesus, you know, he said, he goes back to whatever he was good at. He was not good as a disciple. He knew that. He saw it. He denied Jesus. And Jesus comes and finds him and the other disciples. And Jesus asks them, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me, Peter? And after a couple of tries, Peter tells him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Many times I cannot explain why I have failed. Why did I fail and I got angry in that situation? Or why did I fail in the other thing? And I'm not good at explaining, but I know one thing. Lord knows that I love Him and I hate that sin. And if I had the freedom to choose or the power to choose and not do it anymore again, I would never do it again. And this is exactly the reason Jesus came and became like us. He was tested so He can be merciful and He can understand me. And says, okay, I had to sacrifice my will and just always do what the Father told me to do. That's what I want to do. So thank God that He looks at me and He doesn't need yes or no questions and answers to find out. He knows everything that's in my heart. I'm not good at music. What do you think if I just go and analyze Brother Jason, how he played today, you know, and just give my opinion about how he played. That's going to be a little bit like disrespectful, to say in a nice way. I remember a story somebody said. One day, a guy was playing the piano. The room was full of people came there. And it was like a, how do you say it in English? Like not a concert, recital? It's like people came to watch him playing the piano. He was studying for a long time, so he came to play the piano. So he came there, and his mom was there. A lot of people were there. So he played nicely. And when the play was over, everybody was just clapping and stood up and just, you know, honor him for the way he played. And it was surprising for his mom that he was not happy. And when she noticed that, she came close to him and said, "Son, what's going on? You played so greatly, so nice. Look at these people. Everybody's just applauding you. Look at them. Why are you so sad?" And he told his mom, "Mom, you see that man right there that's on that chair? He didn't stood up and he did not applaud." And his mom was like, "Whoa, so what's the problem? It's just one guy, one man. Look at the rest of them. You know, everybody's just, you know, so happy and they like the way you sing." And he said, "Mom, that man right there is my piano teacher. And I think he didn't like the way I did it." I think this tells a lot, like for us. People can say, "You are a great Christian. You do this, you do that. You are a great guy. You are just, you know, you're doing so awesome." And when it comes to asking for opinions, yes, I like to look at people too. But I always want to look and say, "Lord, what do you say about me?" Because God is going to judge the motives of heart. And people don't see that. There's no x-ray for motives. We can, you know, say things, we can do things, and we can do that because we have to, or because, I don't know, or because we love, you know, the honor of men or whatever. So today, I just want to continue to walk. And as I walk, I say, "Lord, help me to look up. Look up to you, Lord, and walk before you, not man. Lord, help me as I walk in this year. Help me, Lord, to look inside and see what's in there, Lord, and see the way you see me. I'm a child of God. If I need repentance, I need to repent and look ahead and understand that the Lord is preparing me for eternity, for everlasting way. Not just temporarily, not just to look nice, you know, just to go through this. God wants to change me, change the heart, not just the clothes. He wants to, you know, go deep in there and just change the heart and make us more and more like Jesus. That's my prayer. And that's my prayer for all of us. Amen."